coming Friday morning will be our last, Friday's our last day of school. Friday morning we'll be having our Christmas program. The different classes are working on different things that they'll be presenting. And so that begins at 10 o'clock Friday. And we'd invite you to come and be here for that. Always have a good crowd. A lot of parents come. A lot of parents take off from work so they can be here. And so we look forward to that every year. It takes a lot of work. And you see things a little bit different up here. The pulpit's gone. I'm uncomfortable. And I like to hide behind it. It's over there and got the bells. The kindergartners are going to do that. And that's worth the show just to see them do those, ring the bells. And so we'll have a good time. Look forward to that this coming Friday. And then we're out for the Christmas break, Christmas season. Christmas Day coming upon us, and we're out until the next year. So we look forward to that. I believe everybody likes a few days off, a couple of weeks off. And this Friday, also after school is dismissed at noon, or whenever the program is over, then our ball team cheerleaders, they'll be traveling to Shepherdsville, that's just south of Louisville, to have the last basketball game of this year, unless you've scheduled something else. I know he's working on something. I don't know if I said that'd be fine. You have to play all the ball you want to. I'm not going to be here. Some school called and said they'd had a school dropout. I don't know if we could come. I have no idea. Praise the Lord, I don't know. last scheduled game we have is this coming Friday, and so pray for the folks as they travel. All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. When you come to the season of Christmas, I have read and have heard, and I'm sure you also have heard, and sometimes we even experience the same problem, that this is a season that's supposed to be a season of good times and fellowship and joy. And for the Christian, it's the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not He was born on December the 25th, really to me makes no matter. The important thing is that He was born. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life. He died as a sinner on Calvary's tree because He took my sins and your sins upon Himself. He was pronounced dead, and He was buried. And 3 days and nights later, He came forth victorious out of the grave. Now that's from birth until His resurrection. And that's what we base our foundation of our salvation upon, is that we have a Savior that is alive. We have a Savior that died. We have a Savior that lived a sinless life and died for us. And so this is the, those things are the very fundamentals of our faith that we believe. So when we come to the Christmas season, we celebrate the time of His birth. We read in the Gospel of Matthew. We read in the Gospel of Luke, and even in some other places, some things about His birth and about Him coming. We read about the shepherds as they watched over their sheep in the field. We read about the wise men that came. And I believe they came at a much later date than what we see in our nativity scenes. But we read about the wise men as they came and presented their gifts, whether it be 3 or whether it be 33. History does not give us a very clear understanding of that, and the Bible does not say there was 3 wise men. It just says wise men came and they were bearing 3 gifts. And so that's how tradition gets started. Doesn't necessarily mean there is Scripture to back that up. But we come to the Christmas season. For the child of God, we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Now to the world tonight, it's a totally different celebration. To the unregenerate person, it's a time of festivity. It's a time of maybe getting together with family. It's a time that they have to party and to have their good times. And then it's also a time, sometimes even for the Christian, it's a time of great discouragement. We see so many things, we hear so many things, that sometimes it works on our heart, it works on our minds, And if we're not careful, we can become discouraged. We see so many different activities. There are just so many different things that come at us. We sometimes fall into that discouragement of life. And especially in this season, the statistics show that there are more people that commit suicide during this season than any other time during the year. Stats tell us that there are more people that are discouraged. There are more people that go to the extreme in their discouragement and they take their own life. And it's simply because they do not experience what they think they should experience. They're not as happy as they think they ought to be, and they're not obtaining fulfillment in their life. Now, the child of God should never get there, but sometimes we do. We should never get to the point of that being discouraged to that point, but sometimes the mind does many, many things to us. And as we read the Scripture tonight here in Numbers chapter 21, we're going to find out about a people that were very discouraged. The reason for discouragement, I think, is four or five reasons, and then we'll read our Scriptures and note some things here. But the reason there's so much discouragement, not only in this season, but throughout life, is because we have an enemy. And he's called the devil. He's Satan. He's not a force. He's not something that's out there somewhere we can't find. And the devil is a real personality. Satan is a real character, and he is working not only his work, but he has many demons and has many of those that are with him, that are influenced by him, that does the work. And the only person that is omnipresent, that means present everywhere at the same time, is the Lord. And He is omnipresent. The Lord is here, the Lord is there, and the Lord's around the world all at the same time. He's omnipresent. Now the devil is not that way. He cannot, but he has many cohorts. He has many workers, and they are doing the work of the wicked one at his disposal, at his will. They are doing as he so commands them to do, and sometimes we feel like maybe he is the one that is everywhere, but I'm glad our Lord is the only one that can take care of every need of every person all around the world at the same time. He's able to do that. He's all powerful too. And the reason for this discouragement and the problems of life is because the devil is out of his place. Now somebody says, well, what is the place of the devil? Where does he belong? Well, the Scripture tells us in Matthew 25 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And he's not there yet. Don't ever get in your mind that the devil's in hell, because he's not in hell. He's walking to and fro. Read that in the book of Job. The Bible says he came before the Lord and he said, I'm walking to and fro upon the face of the earth. And he is busy doing his work and his deeds to tear down and to destroy and to drag people down to a literal place that is hell. And so the devil's out of his place. He belongs in hell. He's not there yet, but I've read the last story. I've read the last chapters of the book, and I find out that in Revelation chapter number 20, we find that the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and that's where he's going to be forever. So he's going to be in his place then, and when that takes place, there's going to be peace upon the earth, goodwill toward men. That's the only time it will ever happen. So the devil's out of his place, and so therefore we have struggles, we have problems. And we know that the Scripture tells us that the Jew is out of his place. The Jew is not where he's supposed to be or she's supposed to be. They are in a very small portion of land, and the struggles there in the Middle East continually because they're not in the right place. But one day, the Lord is going to give them their land that God the Father promised to Abraham. Says where you see, and He gave the dimensions, He gives the boundaries of what Israel was to be, and Israel only has a very small portion tonight of what their land was promised to them back in the book of Genesis, and so they're out of place, and the Lord's going to put them in the right place, and they're going to have peace. And so when the devil gets in his place, the world's going to have peace. When the Jew gets in his place, they're going to have peace. They're going to have peace. The church is certainly not in her place because the Lord says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am there you may be also. And so we are pilgrims and strangers in this land. We are here sojourners. We are passing through. We're just for a little season. But when the house of God, when the people of the Lord, when we get in our right place, what a great day that will be. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. And so we look forward to that day. And then when all that takes place, the Lord will be in His right place. Right now He's seated. The Bible says that the Lord is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And there He is making intercession for us. But you see, the Lord has a rightful place also. And that rightful place is sitting on the throne of David, ruling the world with a rod of iron. And when He gets in His rightful place, everything's going to be peaceful and calm. And it'll be taken care of. And so there's a lot of things that work together to keep us in trouble. A lot of things that work to keep us disturbed and to bother us. And here in Numbers chapter 21, we find, let's read and begin reading in verse number 3 of Numbers chapter 21. It says, And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And He called the name of the place Horem. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged. Notice the last four words there, because of the way. I've used these verses many times, used those words many times. They were discouraged because of the way. Because of what they were doing, because of what they were going through, they were discouraged. They had just won a battle. They had just won a great victory, but now they're discouraged because of what was going on. Notice verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He will take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. One of the great attributes of Moses was that he was a praying man. Many times you'll find that Moses went to battle, and he prayed for those people that had murmured against him time and time again. And here we find they've come and they've murmured to Moses and said, Have you led us out here to die? There's no bread, there's no water, we have nothing, and you've just led us out here to die. And so God sends the fiery serpents, whatever they might have been, and they were bitten, and the Bible says much people of Israel died. And so they came to Moses and they said, We've sinned. They recognized that they had spoken against the Lord. They recognized that they had made words against Moses, the servant of the Lord. And they said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and pray and He take away the serpents from us. Moses prayed for the people. Notice verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The Lord said, If they'll look, they'll live. And the Bible, the very next verse says, When they looked, they did live. I'm glad to thank the Lord tonight that when we look, we live. When we look to the Lord that has taken our sin, and when we look to the things that God has given to us, and we understand the need of salvation, we come believing upon the Lord, we shall look and live. And there's even a song in our songbook that has that message, look and live. My brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. Thank God tonight we can look to Him. He is that one that was put upon a pole. He's put upon a cross. He is the one that took upon Himself our sins, and now we have life eternal. And so the story here goes that they were discouraged, and they were downtrodden. They were beaten down very bad. They had gotten to the point, if you read on some other places, many times the people of Israel said, why did we come out here to die? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Why didn't we just stay where we were? I'll tell you why they didn't stay where they were, because they were in great bondage and great affliction, and they were going to die there. And God said, I need Moses, I need a man to lead them out. And they were ready to leave until they got out there and suffered a little bit of problem. And suffered a little bit of trouble, sort of like you and I. We're ready to do certain things until we have a little bit of trouble. And then we say, why in the world are we doing this? Why are we trying this? Why are we doing this? All along, we were the one that agreed that we needed to do something for the Lord. And so these folks here, as they journeyed, they went by the way of the Red Sea, and they went to compass that land and or compass that land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. If I was to ask you tonight, and I'm not going to, how many of you could raise your hand or would raise your hand, how many would say, in my life, I have been discouraged many times. We'd raise our hands. Because we have been. There are times that we, as a child of God, we get discouraged. And most of the time, it's because of the way. Most of the time, it's because of what's going on around us. Most of the time, it's the circumstances that gets us down and gets us to the point that we just really don't want to go another direction. We don't want to do anything. We want to stop. We want to go back. We want to give up. And that's just like this people. They spake against Moses and said, why have you brought us out here to die? We don't have bread. We don't have water. We don't have the things we had in Egypt. So why have you brought us out here? And so because of the way, they were discouraged. So I'm sure all of us would say, I have been discouraged in my life sometime. We can go a little farther along the line and say, you know, we're coming down to the end of 2014. That doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem just a few days ago that we were talking about 14 coming up and having the whole year before us and the opportunities that were before. And now it's far spent. It's gone. The days are gone. We just have a few days left in this year. If I was to ask tonight, how many have been discouraged this year? Probably all of us would raise our hands. Somewhere in this year, we've been discouraged. Might not want to admit it, but we know it. We might not want to let everybody else know it, but we know it. And by the way, God knows it also. But I'm glad He's the one to take care of it. But we could bring it down a little bit closer tonight. How many have been discouraged this month? December's a discouraging month to a lot of people. December's a trying month. A lot of folks get stressed out. A lot of folks max out and then they're stressed out. They max out their credit card and then they're stressed out how they're going to pay for it. And that's discouragement. That comes. And the month of December, and then, it's not so much, maybe not too bad in December, but January bill comes in. And then February bill comes in. You haven't done too much on January's bill and it's added another $50 to it just for the interest rate, and we have a problem. And so we could say within the month of December, probably, maybe somebody even in this room has been discouraged. Maybe not over the finances. Maybe not over the overspending. Maybe we don't do that. But there's other things of life that discourage us. Troubles, activity, things, just anything can discourage us. We could bring it down a bit closer. I wonder how many have been discouraged this week. Oh, don't raise your hand. How many have been discouraged just this week? Say a week from last Wednesday night. We've been a week. We've had a weekend. Had to fix a water leak Sunday. That wasn't too encouraging. It's encouraging. It didn't take too long. Brother Don said, boy, it's a lot easier than I thought it'd be. I said, praise the Lord. And so, circumstances discourage us. Spirituality or lack of discourages us. Knowing to do certain things that we do not do discourages us because the Holy Spirit tells us what we need to do. And sometimes we just rebel against it and we're not going to do it and all of a sudden our hearts are discouraged. This week we could have discouragement. The day's not over yet, but we could be discouraged before the midnight hour. And there may be some even in this room that's discouraged today. Something's taken place. Something's happened. News has come. Sometimes a report, whether it be a doctor's report or what it is, it discourages us. We hear dreaded words. We experience certain things, and all happens in a day. I'd sort of say that Job might have had every opportunity to be discouraged in that day that he spent. The Bible says there was a day. And boy, that day was a terrible day for Job. But the Bible says he did not curse God. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Just forget about it. You know what was wrong with her? She was discouraged by circumstances. She was discouraged because, and who wouldn't be? They'd lost everything they owned. They'd lost their cattle, their sheep, their oxen. They'd lost it all. They'd lost their ways and means, and Job probably was one of the richest men of his day. And here all of it has gone. And some people can't handle the loss of riches. But worse than that, not only did they lose all that, they lost their children in that day. And if that wouldn't discourage you, nothing would discourage you. It wasn't just losing one child, they lost 10 children. And so there was a day in Job's life that I'll tell you what, probably if we knew all the story and all the feelings that Job and Mrs. Job had, there was probably a discouraging time in their life. You can read the book of Job. You'll find that he said, I'd curse the day I was born. Discouragement. And those things came because of circumstances, and discouragement came to their life. And if there ever was a person that you would say would be worthy of discouragement, it would be Job. And it was because of the way. Because of life. The process. You say, we're living in a process of life. We're living in a continual moving society, but it's the process of life. And we live, we grow old, we die. That's part of life. And because of the way, those things within the way brings us discouragement. Now these folks were discouraged, the Bible says here, because of the way. They were looking and desiring the blessings of the Lord. They had won the victory, they had won the battle, but now it's taken them a long time to get where they need to go. And they get in a place where there's no bread, there's no water. And because of the blessings that are not there, they are discouraged. There are blessings that have been put off. Doesn't say they're not going to have them, but they've been put off. They've been deferred, and they're discouraged because they're not experiencing the good things of victory, and they're having to go through the problem. And now they have to move forward, and they've left Egypt behind, and Kadesh Barnea where they went, and they crossed over, and they said, "Oh, there's a land that flows with milk and honey, and the grapes that grow, it took two men to bring them back on a stick, and the grapes were huge and large, and everything was just like God said it was." And they said, "It's just like we were promised, but there's giants in the land." You know, every time we go somewhere and do something for God, there's always giants. And they were discouraged because of the way. They were discouraged because of the giants. They were discouraged because of the hardships. And they said, we look like grasshoppers in front of them. But God had already told them, said, go fight the battle, go take the land. And God said, you can do that. And they said, we can't. No wonder they were discouraged when they had no light bread. No wonder they're discouraged when there was no water. No wonder they're discouraged because of the way, because they had chosen the wrong way and their blessings had been deferred, and they were having some difficulties right now that were hard for them and troubling them, and it brought about discord. It brought about a struggle within the camp. A little later you read about a man by the name of Korah. He brings out he's a manipulator, discord, struggles, difficulties. That'll bring discouragement. That'll bring problems. And so the reasons for them being discouraged was that the blessings were not there, and the troubles were there, and the rebellion was there, and the camp was divided. And by the way, a divided group cannot accomplish anything. A house divided against itself shall not stand. If you're divided, whether it be a church, a home, a business, whatever it is, if it's divided against itself and in struggles and turmoil all the time, it will fail, it will fall. And discouragement will set in. The reason for their discouragement, I think, probably was part of it, was because of the fault finding and the complaining that they did to Moses. They found fault with him everywhere they went. The Bible says here in this passage, and has said it in many other times, and the people spoke against Moses, or against God and against Moses. They're sort of pitying themselves. You know, sometimes you just sort of feel sorry for yourself, and you play your little fiddle, and everything is not going your way, and everything's not going the way it ought to go, and we're discouraged, and the fruit of it is fault finding. It's somebody else's fault. Now, it was not Moses that had chosen to go or not to go into the promised land. Moses didn't choose that. Moses sent those 10 spies in, and they chose the way that they went. Now they're discouraged because of the way. Now they're discouraged because of where they are. They're discouraged because of the results of their opinion that we cannot do what God told us to do. If God tells a people, if God tells an individual, if God tells a church to do something, you just rest assured you can do it. Because God will never lead us into something that He will not provide the way to do it. If He leads us to do something, that means we can do it. We may not know how, we may not understand how in the world can that happen, how will it be, but if God leads us to a particular thing and tells you, here's where you need to go, here's what you need to do, we look at it and we get discouraged because of the way. It's hard. Hard to do. Oh, but God said you can do it. He didn't say it'd be easy. He just said you could do it. He didn't say there wouldn't be any struggles. He just said struggles will pass. A lot of people say this little phrase, and I argued with my mother time and time again, it's not in the Bible, this too shall pass. It all passes, but it's not the Bible. The principle's there, but those words are not there. And she just never did believe me. I took my computer over one day, I said, look, Mom, I'm going to type it in. She said, I don't care what that computer says, I know it's in the Bible. I said, well, when you find it, you tell me, and I'll preach a message on it. I haven't preached it yet. But this too shall pass. It will pass. And they're discouraged because of it's just not the way they thought it would be. They're discouraged because of hardships. They're discouraged because of difficulties. And they're discouraged because of hunger. They're discouraged because of circumstances. But God didn't say those things would be all roses. He just said you can conquer the land. You can take and win the battle. And so they're discouraged because of the fruit of it that has brought about turmoil and self-pity and a low value of themselves. There's a lot of people tonight that have very low esteem. We hear a lot about that in our school, self-esteem. We hear a lot about that in society. And it's real. There's a lot of people who don't think they're worth much. I'll tell you what, we're worth a whole lot. We're worth Jesus Christ dying for. We're worth the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that suffered. He's the one that died. He's the one that bled. And so we're worth something to Him. He said, well, that's easy for a Christian to say, oh, but we haven't always been Christians, and we still was worth it to Him. He didn't die for Christians, He died for sinners. He came to save sinners. Somebody said, oh, I'm too big a sinner, I'm too hard a sinner. Paul's done taking care of that. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. If He can save the chief, He can save the Indians, He can take care of all of us. And so, discouragement, because they came out of Egypt and it was hard. Our soul loatheth this light bread. We don't want it. This is not what we thought it would be. This is not the way we thought it would be. And they're discouraged. Well, I'm glad the story doesn't stop there. I'm glad it tells us there that the Lord brings into their life some real hardships. All of a sudden, they're not worried about their hunger. They're not worried about their thirst. They're not worried about the hard way. They're worried about their life. Because God sends judgment upon them and they die. Many, the Bible says here, and much people of Israel died. Why? Because they murmured against God. They murmured against Moses. They had all those things in their mind that was wrong. And God sent judgment upon them. I'm glad there's a remedy for their discouragement. They just simply said, "We have sinned. We have sinned." Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." We've spoken against Jehovah. We've spoken against the Lord. And against thee, Moses. We've spoken against the servant of God. And we have sinned. And so they know Moses is a praying man. And they say, "Moses, would you please pray for us?" Moses is the intercessor, prayer warrior of the Old Testament. He prayed for those that hated him. He prayed for those that spoke against him. He prayed for those that would have killed him. And so the remedy for their discouragement was that they confessed. They were defeated. And now Moses prays for them. And their discouragement is overtaken because there's a serpent of brass. I think I mentioned Sunday. Maybe it was Sunday. Brass is a type of sin. Serpent of brass. The serpents bit them, so they made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. And Moses said, "If you look at that, you'll live." You know why Moses said that? Because God said, "Tell them that." And so there was a remedy for their discouragement. Discouragement was defeated by intercessory prayer. Discouragement was defeated because Moses prayed for the people and they had confessed, "We have sinned." Now before this, they were blaming somebody else. But Moses, if you hadn't brought us out here, Moses, if you hadn't led us out here, we would have water, we'd have food. Yeah, you'd have brick to make, you'd have mortar to make, you'd have all those other things. Oh, we like the leeks, we like the beans, we like the cucumbers of Egypt. Oh, but you didn't like all the work of Egypt and the struggles of Egypt. And by the way, Egypt's a type of the world, and we never like the struggles of the world. And so they come, they confess, "We have sinned." They didn't put on anybody, sort of like David in Psalm 51, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." David confessed his sin. He didn't blame it on Bathsheba. He didn't blame it on somebody else. He said, "I've sinned." Somebody says, "Oh, if she'd have been in her place." Oh, but if David had been in his place, leading the battle. And so we find that these folks are discouraged because of the struggles, because of the way. The fruits of it is that they find fault with their leader. They find fault with God. "You've brought us up." They accuse them of doing things that they were not guilty of. And then all of a sudden God brings judgment and they say, "We've sinned." And that's the remedy. And by the way, that's the remedy tonight for our discouragement. That's the remedy of any problems that we have. It's always related back to us. Not what somebody else did. Not what my brother, my sister, my mother, my father. It's not what somebody else has done. It's what we have done. So these folks, they found the remedy, and they said, "We have sinned." And so the discouragement was defeated by intercessory prayer, and discouragement was overcome by substitution. Everyone that looks shall live. I'm glad tonight we have the same message. If they look, they'll live. If they look to the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall live. It doesn't matter what abuse, doesn't matter what has come into their life. And I'm so sure that so many things that we find, and Doc Wall goes to pray for somebody that has substance abuse, drug abuse. That's so very prevalent. But it's usually not somebody else's fault. But it can be handled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not so naive to realize that there are effects. There are things that happen that we cannot turn around. But I'm glad, thank the Lord, we can be delivered. We can be born again. We can be taken out of the wrong way. So tonight we start out. Have we been discouraged this year? Sure we have. Have we been discouraged this month? Probably so. This week? More than likely. Today? Possibly. But I'm glad the way of escape is to come to the Lord. There's no other way but His way. There's nothing else to be done except go to Him. It may be something that we realize we have sinned. And I don't think, I probably get some flack from some of my preacher friends, but I don't think it takes a preacher to tell you when you've sinned. If you have the Spirit of God in your heart, you know when you sin. I don't have to have some preacher brother tell me I've sinned. I know my sin. It's ever before me. There's that sin that overtakes us. There's those struggles that we deal with, and we're human, we're flesh, and we all deal with problems. We all deal with sin. What you deal with may not bother me a bit. What I deal with might not bother you, but there is that sin that does so easily beset us. You can name it. I wouldn't want you to, but I'm glad we can name it to Him. I'm glad we can tell Him. Are you weary, heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. He can handle it. He can take care of it. And if we're not careful, we'll be discouraged because of the way. Have you been there? Sure. Have I been there? Yeah. I'm glad He can take care of it. He can handle it. Discouraged because of the way. Could add a lot of things to that. Because of the way people act, the way what people say, because of the way. And you just put a lot of sentences at the end of that. But a lot of times we're just discouraged because of the way we are. Just the way we are. We're sinners. Thank God, saved by grace. And we have to go to Him daily. So, oh God, forgive me. I've failed. I've broken. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's stand together tonight.